afternoon and welcome to the Matt McNeil Show. Matt is not here today. This is Gregory Rich, host of Drink in the Style Sundays at 5 p.m. on AM 950, sitting in for the venerable, respectable, and generally pleasant Mr. McNeil, who is out of town. So welcome to the show, and I hope that I can fill these shoes as we move forward. I'm joined by Mr. Brett Johnson, producer.
Hey there, Gregory Rich. We're kind of the third and fourth stringers filling in here.
Really? I get to be fourth string? That's awesome.
Both of us are. Yeah. Both of us weren't necessarily supposed to be in today, but hey, we decided to do a little pinch hitting for Mr. McNeil, who was out gallivanting and doing all sorts of other things with his time off.
Good for him. He's a man who deserves a break. And I'm happy to sit in, and I'm going to ask our listeners to have mercy because I'm not accustomed to being on live radio, but I am so excited to do this, and we have some interesting things to talk about.
We most certainly do. We were talking about some national news and then, of course, the state fair, where you and I actually seem to share the same opinion about the state fair, which I think is in the minority, which kind of surprised me.
Shall we fire up the phone lines by dissing the state
fair? We're going to go all Amy Klobuchar on the state fair. If you heard what she said down in Iowa.
I didn't. What did she say?
She got in trouble because she couldn't decide if the Iowa State Fair or the Minnesota State Fair was better.
Oh, my God.
And apparently it angered a lot of people here in Minnesota, including the chair you're sitting in, Mr. McNeil. He was not happy with Amy about that.
Wow. Yes. Well, I would expect so. Talk about abandoning your roots in an act of subjective filial honoring of Iowa. I don't accept it. No, I'm against it.
I think a key point of contention, too, is that she was not asked this question. She offered it on her own.
Oh, yes.
Really?
Yeah. So you can see being diplomatic, maybe being political minded, saying, oh, they're both good.
Really?
She declared on her own. Oh, this is about as good as the Minnesota State Fair, I think.
How hot is that oven? Let me touch it. Yeah. Oh, that's weird. Yeah, no, it's the State Fair is a Minnesota tradition. I respect everyone who goes to it and, you know, and rah-rah and all that other stuff. But personally, I find it really, really unpleasant.
I'm sorry. I'm in the same camp there, too.
I mean, it's hot. It's sticky. Mm-hmm. People are bumping into you. You've got to wait in line for everything you want to do. It just doesn't work.
I love it.
Are you in the, what do you think about that?
All the things that you complain about are kind of things I like. I think of it as like a...
the hot, sweaty, bumping lines?
It's like a White Castle burger. It like simultaneously disgusts you, but at the same time, there's something pleasant about the degree of disgusting.
And strangely enough, the smells are similar to White Castle.
Absolutely.
Probably the after effects as well. Generally, a few hours later, you're kind of regretting it for several reasons that involves going to the restroom.
Yeah.
Absolutely true. You know, it's funny. We used to have, when my wife and I moved to Minnesota, and we're from New York State. She's from New York City. I'm from Buffalo, New York. And, you know, we don't have this big state fair tradition. There's a county fair and all this other stuff. And I remember we went the first few years that we lived here. And, you know, the first year was novel and interesting. The second year was, I guess this is what we're supposed to do. And by the third year, I had developed a dislike for it that was intense. So we went on to what we decided was going to be like an every 3 to 5 year program to go and visit it. But now, because we have kids and it's gotten to the point where my wife likes to take our younger daughter and the two of them go along, usually with a friend or two, and it's this like little bonding experience, and now I feel left out. So now I'm like so torn about the state fair. Do I push my way back in, or do I just stay true to my principles of saying, this is just not my bag?
It'd be nice to at least get an invite to the thing you don't want to do.
I know, right? Exactly.
At least if I could say no.
That was a line in a movie. I can't remember what it was, but somebody that Michael Douglas, I think, was having his secretary read to him. He was a rich guy. All of the social events that he was rejecting going to, and she said, "Why do you make me go through this?" And he says, "It's no fun to ignore social invitations unless they arrive," and it's true.
And you have not been invited to the state fair. Maybe they know you're not a fan and just think, well, he's not going to go anyway, so why invite him?
They do know that I'm not a fan and that I don't like to go, and that's why they don't invite me. But now I want to go because I'm not invited. But of course, as soon as they invite me, I'm going to go and I'm going to complain, and they know they will. So it's the vicious cycle.
Within the first hour, completely complaining. Yeah.
Well, yeah, exactly.
If you're a beer fan, you might be okay, because I mean, if you're really having a tough time, you can get some good local craft beer there. But
which is why the good Lord gave us living rooms.
Yes.
Because I can do the same thing. It's why I don't ice fish. I don't understand that. Why sit in a cold and pleasant environment and drink when I can do it someplace else?
We're on the same page. Yeah, I've never liked fishing either. Well, I did ice fishing one time, and I just ended up freezing. But I've never gotten the point of that either. We are so anti-Minnesota on this show today.
I know.
We were running for public office, we would be in huge trouble.
This is like reason 367 of why I should never run for public office.
Yeah.
Yeah. 366 is a real killer, by the way. Let's talk about that another time.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not a good defender of the state fair, because all the things you don't like are the things that I actually do.
Really?
So I'm not much of a counterpoint. Like, oh, yeah, you get sweaty with a bunch of strangers. That sounds great.
Do listeners know what your other job is, by the way, to understand the depth of your
depravity?
Depravity?
I might have mentioned it a couple times. Cleaning out houses from dead people, old residents.
Yep.
Which, I had forgotten about this. That's right. Yes.
And the smells and mess probably conditioned you appropriately for the state fair.
Regular BO is sweet and pleasant to me.
I got to ask you, Eric, now, have you ever run into an outhouse that you're like, okay, I just can't clean this. It's too awful. There's too much of a mess.
An outhouse?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
I clean out houses,
oh,
not
I thought
outhouses.
You said outhouse.
No, okay. I clean out houses okay. from, I've cleaned houses. Out a couple boathouses.
Okay, I
got
gotcha.
You. Which know. Decades worth of cat filth underneath them.
Well, that's funny. I misheard you. I heard outhouse, and I'm thinking that's a really specific profession. I'm cleaning outhouses.
Just me and a shovel, baby.
Just you and a shovel.
One man and a shovel. How do you put that on a card?
That's all you need on the business card. One man and a shovel.
Actually, that is an awesome business card.
You could
card.
Be an undertaker too, I suppose.
You could do anything. Yeah, One do man can do amazing things mm-hmm. with a shovel.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible. I support it. I'm going to order you some business cards.
All right. I don't know if I want the work attributed to that, but
well,
see.
It'd be interesting. You could talk about it on the
That's
radio. What were the job offers this week for one man and a shovel? That could be a regular segment on the repartee.
Exactly. One man and a shovel. I kind of like that.
I dig it.
I want to go back to the state fair for a second, though, as we were
I dug us out of that, I know, man.
I'm digging us right back in because I got to get this off my chest.
Hit it.
Something that just doesn't appeal to the state fair about me sometimes is that, and maybe this is very Minnesotan of me to say, is that we like to brag about how wonderful our state fair is. It just seems like it's an event that's put on so we can just brag about ourselves to ourselves. Mm. Which I guess is completely Minnesotan to say as well. So
it's a moment of collective pride, I guess, that everyone can like trumpet without trumpeting their own individuality. I guess.
Mm-hmm. There seems to be a deep insecurity in
Minnesotan. That's what I'm
where
looking
we
for.
Want to establish mm-hmm. that we're different than the rest of the flyover states. Like, mm-hmm. no, we're one of the good ones, guys. We have great events.
We're the place where if you're flying over and you got to crash land, this is the spot you want to necessarily
Absolutely.
Come down in.
Lots of lakes, soft landing spots.
Whatever happened to the effort to rebrand us as the North? Do you guys remember that?
That was big during the Super Bowl, wasn't it? Where they were trying to say we're part of the North, or we are the North. We're not the Midwest. I'm not sure whatever happened with that, because to a degree it kind of makes sense, because the Midwest you could define as pretty much anything that's the middle of the country.
Mm-hmm. Kansas is often lumped in there.
And that's what people think about. You think about the Midwest, you're thinking about Nebraska and Kansas and all those other square states and rectangular states.
Yeah, I always like defining us as one of the Great Lake states, because then you have at least Wisconsin, Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
That has
states
some
I more compare ourselves to.
Yeah, no, that's some cred. I liked the concept of the North. I think it also went hand in glove with the Game of Thrones from a few years back, you know. And I thought it was a great idea, but it just didn't seem to stick. I remember seeing people for a while wearing, you know, stocking caps that said the North.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't heard it in a long time.
That's a solution right there to separate out the Midwest. Speaking of which, solutions, you are here.
Yes, indeed.
But I've heard Pennsylvania be called the Midwest. That's not the Midwest. You can't have Pennsylvania all the way out to like Kansas being the Midwest. That's too big of a region.
that's been spoken by the New Yorkers and the other coastal elites, if you will, because everything once you go you know west of mm-hmm. Albany, I guess, becomes this abyss of nowhere. I can't lie. I mean, I'm from Buffalo, and Buffalo is to New York City as Iowa is to Buffalo. It's just the loss of any, you know, mm-hmm. distinguishable landmarks and features. And I can't lie, when we moved out here, I honestly didn't realize where Minneapolis was. I was shocked when I discovered we bordered Iowa. Absolutely shocked. I had no idea. So we need some differentiation is what I'm saying. We need something that's a little more specific than this amorphous, the Midwest.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can pick that up because, yeah, you live on the coast and you think nothing else exists between. And mm-hmm. you kind of mm-hmm. define that by saying, yeah, I didn't know where Minneapolis was.
Of course, with climate change, luckily we're going to be oceanfront in no time whatsoever.
We very well could be oceanfront.
that's interesting discussion. All right. So we've gotten ourselves in trouble on segment one. That's gone nicely.
Mm-hmm. Indeed it has. What do you think? Should we take a break and see if we can get ourselves into more trouble in segment two? We've trashed the Minnesota State Fair.
We have. But then we're going to go back and we're going to follow on the solutions theme. Yes. And that is a matter of discussing not just problems, and we want callers to call in and tell us what's concerning them, but offer solutions. Right or wrong, good or bad, up or down, doesn't matter. Let's talk about how to fix some of these problems that we're facing. And then we'll also try to slam Matt McNeil a little more.
He'll appreciate it.
You're listening to the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. We'll be right back.
He's a mess, but he's really pretty.
Hi, I'm Peter Solak.
And I'm Adam Ostrowski.
We are here at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces to talk about outdoor fires. Sitting around a fire is the oldest, most basic form of human activity.
What's new is in the way fire is burned. We can show you how to burn cleaner with a lot less smoke.
The radiant heat and light from an open fire is unmatched. It kindles our spirits and connects us to the outdoors. And now it's easier to experience and enjoy.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces sells and installs wood and gas burning fire pits and fireplaces. Let us help you experience an outdoor fire without all the smoke.
Come see the many ways you can enjoy a fire outdoors.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces has over 35 working wood and gas units on display at the corner of East Franklin and Riverside Avenue in Minneapolis. More information at woodlandstoves.com. Find the fire that works for you. Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, out of the ordinary products and services since 1977.
The number one source of the Twin Cities gay scene is all digital. Follow Twin Cities Gay Scene on Facebook and Twitter. Sign up for the Scene Shot email blast for weekly updates and chances to win great prizes. No app is needed to view the bi-weekly web editions of Scene. It's GLBTQ media for the mobile generation. Find it all at TwinCitiesGayScene.com. That's TwinCitiesGayScene.com.
Crazy about pets? We are too. The Pet Connection Show is a great venue for fun, informative, and creative conversations about pets. Join myself, Kathy Menard, and Dr. Nicole Parole, along with guests who are leaders in the dynamic and growing pet industry, as we discuss healthcare, relationships, behaviors, and even political issues as they relate to our pets. So come, sit, stay for the Pet Connection Show, Sundays 11 a.m. to noon on AM 950 Radio, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Taking prescription medication should not be a scary task. The staff at St. Paul Corner Drug makes certain you know everything about your prescription medication before you leave the pharmacy. Knowing what to expect and when and how to take your prescriptions gives you the confidence to safely take your medication and maintain good health. Should additional questions arise, we are here to help sort things out. St. Paul Corner Drug, pharmacy the way it should be, at stpaulcornerdrug.com.
In the Army National Guard, family means everything.
Our parents, they were really supportive that all five of us would join. I got my education because of the Guard. I got to travel a little bit and experience a whole different culture. It helped me get my job, it helped me pay for my house.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard instills pride that you and your family will share. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service.
sponsored by the Minnesota Army National Guard, aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
Victor's 1959 Cafe in South Minneapolis is a locally owned and operated restaurant offering traditional Cuban food. Open for breakfast and lunch daily with dinner Tuesday through Saturday. For night shift workers, Victor's even has both a morning and evening happy hour, and Victor's now accepts dinner reservations too. Stop in and try some delicious, authentic Cuban cuisine like ropa vieja and seafood paella. Make your reservation and learn more at victors1959cafe.com. Victor's 1959 Cafe, revolutionary Cuban cooking.
Join author William Ken Kruger at Next Chapter Booksellers on Wednesday, September 4th, as he presents his newest novel, This Tender Land. A separate work from the Cork O'Connor mysteries, This Tender Land tells the story of four Native American orphans forcibly separated from their parents on a life-changing odyssey during the Great Depression. It's a big-hearted epic that shows how the magnificent American landscape connects us all. Again, that's William Ken Kruger presenting This Tender Land at Next Chapter Booksellers in St. Paul on Wednesday, September 4th. More at nextchapterbooksellers.com.
Appliance savings on a stick? Warner Stallion's guaranteed unbeatable prices are so low, they're not even fair. Save up to 35% on select KitchenAid dishwashers, then save a lot more with free installation from one of our trusted specialists. Or save even more with unbeatable discounts on four-piece kitchen suites. We have an endless number to choose from. Then, you'll love our fast free delivery in Holloway from trusted specialists. You can even choose 18 months interest-free financing. Get guaranteed appliance savings for a limited time, exclusively from Minnesota's own Warner Stallion.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Matt McNeil program on AM 950. I am your stand-in, probably one-time only host, Gregory Rich from Drinking the Style, Sundays at 5 p.m. All right. So we've talked, Brett, about Eric, about the joys of the State Fair. Mm-hmm. But it brought to mind something that I wanted to quickly talk about, which has me absolutely amazed, which was Sonny Perdue's performance at the Farmers listening session earlier this month. Are you up on this one?
I was, yeah.
Did you talk about this previously? Is this old news?
Yeah, I touched on it very briefly. All I remember is that it didn't exactly go as planned for Mr. Perdue.
Well, here's what it comes down to. It's a listening session. Farmers are in voicing their very legitimate concerns on different mm-hmm. levels. And of course, Sonny Perdue, owner of Perdue Farms, oligarch extraordinaire, if you will, Secretary of Agriculture in the Trump administration, and The particular farmer comes in and he is telling him about the difficulties associated, as I recall, with the government's projection system on farm futures. That's a dumbed down non-farmer's description mm-hmm. of what's happening. And Perdue decides to tell a joke and lighten things up. And he actually says, and this is pretty much a quote, "What do you call two farmers in a basement? A wine cellar."
Oh, jeez. Wow. I did not hear that.
Really?
No, that he
actually said that. You can check that out online, Eric. You can bring it up. Maybe you should play that as something, because that's the type of thing that needs to be shown. Because farmers voted for Trump. Mm-hmm. Farmers still, to a certain extent, and not all, are in general support of Donald Trump, and it shows the level of disdain this administration has for these folks.
Yeah, it's just open contempt. That's not even like a stereotype of farmers, right?
No.
That they whine a lot?
It's insane. They're farmers. They sit, they scowl, they do what they're supposed to do, and then they get up the next morning and they do it again, and that's what a farmer is.
I hate to go off on the double standard thing, but I'm just imagining if Obama or even his Secretary of Agriculture had told that joke, they would have been moving to impeach him that very same day.
Absolutely.
That's a real thing. I'm floored that he would actually make that joke and would think that would somehow get a good reaction from a crowd.
Eric, you're going to be able to find that little clip and play that at some point before the hour is over? All right. Because that is the type of thing that has to be played over and over again. Because it's pulling the mask off a little bit to mm-hmm. show people how vile that position is that they're taking that. And he's right, you know? I mean, to a certain extent, he's Sonny Perdue. Stop whining. Things are great, especially since he's probably going to own that farmer's farm in 3 months mm-hmm. when that poor guy goes bankrupt. And America will be great because we'll all be working for them. All right. That was a rant. Why don't we go to the phone lines before I get myself indicted? Why don't we go to Brad in Robbinsdale, because this is an interesting comment. Brad in Robbinsdale, feast for the dog saint. Brad, how are you?
Yes. I know that Matt is a devout Catholic and a dog lover, and so I will just want to remind, I think you'd appreciate this and remind people in Radio Land that today is the feast date for St. Guinefort, the dog saint.
Really? I love the fact that, both there is a dog saint and the fact that you know this.
Oh, yes. Well, I mean, he may be unofficial now, but he was very popular, and especially there are shrines to him in France.
I thought there was a different saint that was the animal saint. Isn't it Saint? I can't remember. He's
there
in front of the SPCA in Golden Valley. They have a statue of him. Do you have any idea how one becomes a dog saint?
Well, I mean, the story is that I guess his master went out hunting, and when he returned, or he left his child at home with his dog. And when he returned, he found the child, the crib had been knocked over, and he immediately, I guess, thought around. And so he, I guess, just killed the dog suddenly, you know, right off the spur. And then he turned the cradle over and discovered that there was a snake there that the dog had killed. And so out of regret, he built a shrine for him. And, I mean, there may be other sort of versions of this story, you know, in around Europe. So, but in France, this is where this allegedly happened.
Wow. So wrath, the killing of the dog, followed by remorse, followed by atonement, and then he becomes
yes.
the dog saint.
Oh, yes. And there are shrines to him, and people have venerated him for centuries.
That's fab. You know, Brad, on Drink in the Style, we always have a cocktail as we're discussing, you know, whatever aesthetics we happen to be talking about. If I had a cocktail, I would raise this to you because that is a fabulous story.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you for calling in, Brad. I appreciate that. Brett, are you a dog person?
I am a dog person. I don't have any personally, but I grew up with dogs. My parents have dogs who I kind of think of as my own. They have two little shih tzus, so I can get away with saying that because in the context I'm saying it, yeah. They got Norman and they got Lucy, and yeah, I love dogs, yeah.
Good for you. That's awesome. I cannot speak highly enough of dogs. We've got a little dog. It's a Catan de Tulear. Ever heard of this thing?
I have not. You've talked about your dog a couple times, I think, on Drink in the Style.
Mm-hmm. I've got two. Yes. I've got a Labradoodle named Henry and a Catan de Tulear named Ike. And the Catan, it's this obnoxious little white puffball who is just absurd. And Catan means cotton. Tulear is the capital of Madagascar. This breed is the national dog of Madagascar, supposedly.
Seriously? Wow.
And the reason is... And this is way off subject, but what the heck? So they were this national dog, or they were these royal dogs in an Indian principality, 1500s. A pirate ship is trying to smuggle these guys out to try to sell them in Europe. Ship sinks off the coast of Madagascar. All the pirates die. The Catans float because they're so soft. They float. They have hollow hair, and they become feral. So apparently, for like 800 years, you had these hordes of little white cotton balls roaming free in the jungles of Madagascar, only to eventually be redomesticated and find a home in Minnetonka, Minnesota.
Wow, these are some incredible dog stories we have on the show.
Yeah, supposedly. I don't know if it's true or not, but
yeah,
it's a great tale. I love dogs. Solutions. Question. I love having dogs at restaurants. You go through Europe, they're always... Somebody always has a dog, whether you're inside, outside, coffee house or not. In America, of course, it is becoming more common, but there are always food laws and other, you know, reasons that people can have them thrown out. Do you think that's the case? Do you think that dogs should be allowed in restaurants?
I think it depends more on the owners, because there's nothing worse than going to a restaurant or going to a store and having a dog that's misbehaving, that's causing a ruckus. So I think...
But isn't that true of everything? That's true of people.
Oh, sure. I mean, that's a good point with kids as well. That's usually the parents' fault. So yeah, I would be open to that if we were to bring dogs into stores, into restaurants. But I think the bigger issue is that it comes down to the owners and making sure those dogs actually behave, because don't necessarily like the idea of having misbehaved dogs running around a restaurant just annoying people, or if you have someone with a dog allergy. I know there's some people with that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, especially if the dog happens to have a peanut around its collar or something like that. That's a death sentence.
Yeah, exactly. It's a dog I'd want to see.
A great expression I heard the other day was a guy who was sitting there. He comes into a room and he was not a popular person. And he looks around and he goes, God, I feel about as popular as a peanut in an elementary school. Covers it. All right. We got to take another quick break. When we come back, Gary is going to tell us what he did yesterday. This might be fun. Stick around.
Hi, this is Evelyn. Dad, don't make me do what you made Charlie do.
You want to drive, right?
Fine. My dad is cooler than all YouTube and Instagram celebrities combined. Matt McNeil.
That's lit.
Whatever. I'm getting ready to start my behind-the-wheel driver's training, and my dad says the only vehicles he wants me learning in are Toyotas. Fine with me, because I love them, too.
The vehicles I trust for my young children are the vehicles I trust for their own driving adventure. It's safety and security you can't beat. Test drive a fantastic Toyota today at Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 west of the downtown in Golden Valley.
Hello, humans. This is me, Ellie Krug, with Ellie 2.0 Radio on Monday mornings from 7 to 8 a.m. This week's theme is about teachers who inspire. Our highlighted idealist is Erin Gruwell, the heroine in the movie Freedom Riders. The big interview is with attorney Michael Cerisi, who's working to eliminate inequities in Minnesota's education system. Finally, in my C block, I talk about my experience in meeting two Holocaust survivors. Ellie 2.0 Radio, engaging and real on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
As if there isn't enough to love about our great Minnesota State Fair, Standard Heating and Air Conditioning is throwing their big Minnesota State Fair sale. You can get an air conditioner for just $2,400 when you buy a high-efficiency furnace. Restrictions apply. Go to standardheatingdeals.com to discover details and more about how you can start enjoying your brand new air conditioner for just $2,400 during Standard's State Fair sale. Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, comfort you deserve.
Visit the wine bar at Cafe Latte and enjoy a unique handcrafted pizza and glass of wine, the perfect place for an intimate night or an evening with friends. Choices range from spicy Italian sausage and sweet roasted peppers to the one-of-a-kind nacho chicken pizza layered with blue corn tortilla chips. The approachable wine list offers over 30 by the glass, with special emphasis on wines from Washington State. End your night with one of Cafe Latte's melt-in-your-mouth desserts, 850 Grand Avenue, St. Paul.
Tune in to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. We discuss national and local Native American news and events.
2 hours is still not long enough. Join Robert Pilot, Wendy Pilot, and me, Uncle Curtis.
Weekly correspondents include Winona LaDuke, John Greendeer, and Representative Mary Kanush Podine.
Broadcast live AM 950 Saturdays, 1 to 3 p.m.
We'll be broadcasting live at the Minnesota State Fair August 24th.
At the International Market Bazaar.
Brought to you by Robbins Kaplan and Ho-Chunk Nation.
We are Awake.
Hi, I'm Dr. Scott Chambaud from Chambaud Family Dentistry. We're the fear-free, get-you-out-of-pain-now dental office. We always offer a free exam and x-rays for new patients because we believe you shouldn't have to pay to find out what's wrong with your teeth. Call today. We're open early and late and Saturdays to fit your schedule. As my daughter Rachel says,
if you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth because they're the only ones you get. Call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH or visit fixmyteeth.us.
That's quality humor. There's nothing quite like taking a man whose life is in jeopardy and making light of it by telling him not to whine.
Well, I'm kind of surprised by the reaction there that many people were laughing. Maybe it was just more an uncomfortable type of laugh because, yeah, if I'm losing my farm, I'm not going to be finding a whole lot of humor in that, just saying, ow, you're whining.
It was a Minnesota crowd, so I think there was a polite laugh. Yeah. And then if you ran through it, there were scattering of boos at the end.
Yeah, if you watched the video, a lot of it's the panel that's laughing at that joke.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they have the microphones closer to them. That makes sense.
There's about 10 people in a row up on the table.
Yeah. I mean, it boggles my mind that was not a huge front page indictment of the Trump administration, because that was pulling the mask off. That was showing how indifferent this administration is to farmers.
And that's a good point to bring up about the media, because when I was talking about his visit to the state a few weeks ago, I mostly talked about the fact that he was getting a negative response from the farmers. The director of one of the Minnesota farmers groups was criticizing the Trump administration, but no talk at all about that joke. I mean,
I know
it's an unbelievably terrible and ill-timed joke to make.
Yeah, it boggles my mind, and you know, and I put a Facebook post up, and the Facebook post was. And it was tongue-in-cheek. It was absolutely tongue-in-cheek. It was, wow, I guess I found something to agree with the administration about. That is to say, farmers helped elect Donald Trump. Farmers are still standing by Donald Trump. And even though they're losing their farms and even though they're being sunk into deep debt, don't whine about it if you're still supporting him. And it's true.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's if you don't realize how much – you know, I think it goes back to the stoicism that we were talking about with farmers before and the fact that farmers do not whine. Farmers are literally, by definition, tough hombres, so to speak. No offense.
45 used that term, by the way.
Those were bad hombres.
Yeah. Oh, that's right when he said bad
These
hombres.
Are tough hombres.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But farmers are tough people. They have to be. It's a tough life. That comes from something I don't know what. But I think that they felt that they will endure hardship in the course of betterment for their children and for their farms long term. But the fact is that that's not happening. Markets that are closing are not going to reopen. You're basically just creating a void in the international market for grains and for farm products that are going to be filled by others. And then when farmers try to come back in, they're going to find there's no place to sell their goods.
Yeah, you can't really kiss and make up. I mean, Brazil's already taken over a large part of the crop market that we export to China. And you're right, it's not coming back. And it'd be interesting to look at the psychology as to why farmers keep supporting Donald Trump. Not all of them, but there's still several that still do. I don't know if it's – I wonder if it's something to the fact that he keeps repeatedly telling them how much he loves them. It's one of those things where, oh, well, at least he's paying attention to us, because as maybe a criticism to the Democratic Party and those who aren't Republicans, I mean, you can empathize with the plight of farmers, but they don't necessarily always talk about them and say how they're the backbone of America, where – Trump can say all the right things about farmers, but his actions completely say otherwise. And maybe if you're a farmer, you actually appreciate the words more than the actions, which is kind of the reverse of what it should be.
I think it's – I mean, I take issue. I'm not sure you're on target. I like the way you've put it, but I don't agree necessarily with it, because I think the problem is that Democrats have paid lip service to farmers as the backbone of America and all these other great things. And meanwhile, over the past 40 years, farmers have been under constant attack. The number of family farms has shrunk. I mean, they've gone through real legitimate hardship. And despite all the kind words, no actions have really helped them out of their existing situation. So Donald Trump comes in with kind words, which is kind of new, I suppose, for Republicans to be talking about that. But, you know, I mean, you can't necessarily buy them off with, you know, you guys are top notch, because they've been hearing that.
Their farms have been dwindling for the past decades.
Yeah.
So when Donald Trump says, oh, I'm going to do something different, if they're losing their farms, so what? They were already losing their farms.
Exactly. I think that's – and that's true of America, I think, in a large part, and why, you know, we have this orange floating piece of feces as our current president is because things have gotten so bad for so many people that they're willing to just do whatever they possibly can in hopes of
shake things up. Yeah, yeah. And back to what I was saying, yeah, you know, I mean, you're right. Democrats certainly have given lip service to farmers, but not to the extent that Trump has done for the past few years, where he's made them the centerpiece of his campaign. And I think you are onto something there, too, about how they just wanted to shake things up. I mean, I could even think about some of my family members who were considering voting for Trump and very well may have. They said, well, we'll just get someone in there to shake things up, no matter what shaking things up actually means and entails.
Turns out it was not what they necessarily expected.
No. Yeah, but that's generally how they feel.
True. And he does. He's good at paying lip service, and he's got a vocabulary of about 6 or 7 words that are, you know, the best words ever. One of which, by the way, just as an aside, have you picked up on this yet? Special? If he calls anyone or anything very special, he's insulting them. If he says that, he's basically using it as he thinks it's some kind of inside joke that, you know, like your special needs or something. You're a very special person. To him, it's an insult. If you go back over and you watch some of it, it's insane.
I got to pick up on that, because that does kind of go back to, schoolyard type of insults without actually using the R word. It's kind of his subtle way to use that, that I got to go back and try to notice those tendencies.
Check it out. Maybe we'll put together something. Hey, let's go back to the phones because I'm curious. We have Gary from Minneapolis who would like to tell us what he did yesterday. Gary, welcome to the Matt McNeil Show.
Well, yesterday I tried to get a call in, but time was running out. But you made me think of something. Shake things up. We should use that phrase, shake things up and wake people up. Shake up those oligarchs and those billionaires that are running the country and go after them with, well, Bernie and Elizabeth Warren are the two that most prominent to do that. But what I called out yesterday, you know, the irony of Trump, the man who called Nazis and white supremacists, fine people, and the Prime Minister of Israel are cahoots blacklisting my congresswoman. That really irritates me. And now he's calling himself the chosen one. You know, he sounds a little more like Adolf every day. The next thing he'll be saying, I have a destiny to fulfill. And you want to solve this problem? People, you got to get active. You got to do more than vote. Contact the DFL or your local Democrat, whoever it is, and you can phone bank, you can knock on door, you can put a sign, anything, just any little thing. Donate a little money if you can afford it, because we got to do more than vote to save our freedom with a little left and our very survival at stake. And all these other serious issues are on the line. Thank you.
Well, hey, Gary, before you go, because Gregory, you may appreciate this. Gary, we used to do this a while back, but do you have a joke for us before you go?
I don't know. I'm trying to think. Let's see.
How about the flashy one,
Gary? I've told most of the clean ones to you. What do you call a cow that just had a calf?
What?
Decaffeinated.
No!
Oh, there we go. Need a rim shot there.
Seriously.
Okay, see you guys. Thanks for everything. Thanks for letting me spout off.
Thanks, Gary. We appreciate the call. And he's right. And you know what? And he also made a great point about shaking things up. And the public was ready to shake things up. They would have supported Bernie Sanders if they had gotten the opportunity. And that would have achieved a shakeup that would have actually had some positive benefits, quite possibly. It's absolutely insane.
Yeah, the 2016 cycle felt like the type of cycle where people wanted to shake things up. They wanted an alternative candidate. So I feel like, even though Bernie Sanders might not have been my first choice here in 2020, I think he would have been the right choice in 16 because people were so hungry to change things after years of obstruction from, well, mostly Republicans, but people were ready to shake things up no matter what that meant, whether it was putting a right-winger or someone from the left in office.
Yeah, me and Hunter have talked a lot about this on the Mission Accomplishers, is you can never discount the appeal to disenfranchised voters to just jam a stick in the spokes. If everything's going poorly for them, they don't really care. They just want to see change.
It is true. And you know what's interesting? And it is. I mean, when you've got so many people who are feeling disenfranchised or feeling the system has completely failed them overall, what do they have to lose? So, of course, you blow the whole thing up. You know, it was once said, you know, what is the point of an economy? Brett, do you want to try? What's the point
of
an economy?
That's a giant question.
An economy exists to keep the poor from eating the rich.
I was going to try to come up with a much more diplomatic answer along the lines of it's a means for people to make money so they can survive. But that's a much darker and probably a more accurate definition.
I mean, it's an eyebrow-raising way of saying it's a means of distributing resources in such a way that the majority, and there's always a majority that has less than a minority in every society throughout history, feels comfortable, feels that they don't need to grab the damn pitchforks. And I think we've gotten to that point. We've jumped almost over that point. One of the interesting aspects that I was reading yesterday, or things I was reading yesterday, was this whole CEO Jamie Dimon led meeting of corporate oligarchs, corporate, you know, bigwigs. Do you know about this one?
I've heard a little bit about it, yeah.
So some of the top business leaders in the United States in the stock market got together and they came out and said essentially the role of a corporation is not necessarily to provide maximum value to the shareholder, which is what has been the case since the 1970s and Milton Friedman and you know, the greed is good era. When the shareholder, that's all that matters. And Jamie Dimon has come out, is the CEO JP Morgan Chase, and said, as a matter of corporate American business governance. There are stakeholders, and we as leaders have to be responsible to that. Now, Jamie Dimon is a nasty human being. He is not interested in your well-being or in Eric's or mine. But what he is interested in is making sure that everything he's got, he can keep. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, and even he, I think, has realized that we've gotten to the point where we have totally disrupted the social order and we have created instability. And that's a scary time to be.
I think a lot of them are very fearful of the next recession, because that's something that could really break the whole political system into putting in what they would define as, not what I'm defining as, or you are, or Eric, but what they would think of as very extremist politicians. Someone, I won't even name any specific candidates, but someone that will fundamentally change the way corporations function in this country. That's what I think they're really afraid of with this next recession. That's why I think a lot of them are obsessing about this, because
I think they've almost gone past that, though. Mm-hmm. I think that now they've realized that there's so much energy stored up and so much hostility mm-hmm. that they've kept a lid on for so long that it's going to blow, and they need to figure out how to defuse that.
Yeah, and I think that next recession is what could possibly blow that lid off and really unleash something from people who typically wouldn't support the types of policies that would reform corporations. I think they're very fearful of that. And
mm-hmm. I've often said to friends of mine who are successful and tend to be educated but Trump supporters, would you rather live in a society where you can afford to have two guys walking behind you to make sure you don't get attacked on the street, or a society where you don't need to have those two guys and can just walk down the street in safety? And at this point, we're much closer to needing those two fellas keeping us alive.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Hi, it's Tom Hartman. You know, Continental Diamond is special for a lot of reasons. The owners are Jimmy and Helene Pessis, a husband and wife team who had a dream to open their own store more than 30 years ago. They've built a business that is the gold standard. The readers of Minnesota Bride Magazine have named Continental Diamond the best jeweler for the last 7 years. Why? Amazing, friendly, no-pressure customer service, a selection of fine diamonds and design jewelry unlike anywhere else, and the fresh-baked chocolate chip cookies are pretty great, too. Continental Diamond in St. Louis Park and at ContinentalDiamond.com.
Back in January 2018, the tax laws changed. You probably won't get a tax deduction for donating your vehicle to Auto Technical or any nonprofit, and it's going to put us out of business. Over the past 30 years, our charitable mission has been reconditioning vehicles for thousands of families. Many vehicles are reconditioned and sold to the public. We are self-supporting, but donations have dropped by more than 80%. We can hold on until November, December, but without your help, we'll be forced to close the doors. The Tubman Shelter Workforce Training Center will no longer be able to refer clients to us for free cars. Please, please help us. Call me if you have a vehicle to donate. Richard@autotech.org, 612-919-5526. 612-919-5526. AutoTechnical.org.
Located just north of 50th in France, the Great Wall Restaurant has provided a delicious taste of authentic Chinese cuisine since 1981. Specializing in Sichuan and Peking dishes, they offer one of the most extensive menus in the Twin Cities. Favorites include hot and sour soup, pan-fried dumplings, and mushu pork with homemade Chinese pancakes. Stop by their Edina location or call for takeout at 952-927-4439. See the full menu at greatwallrestaurant.us.
Tune in for Philosophy Talk, the program that questions everything
except your intelligence.
Coming up, philosophy behind bars.
What's it like to teach and learn philosophy in prison?
Well, it's not your average classroom. Must be quite a challenge.
But transformative, I bet, for both teacher and student.
Now, are philosophical prisoners more compliant or more unruly?
Philosophy Behind Bars, next time on Philosophy Talk.
Philosophy Talk, every Sunday at 8 a.m. and again at 2 p.m. on AM 950.
Tom Hartman here telling you that solar energy isn't just for environmentalists. Switching to all-energy solar is actually perfect for reducing your carbon footprint while also saving money on your monthly electric bill. The fact that solar panels cause no earth-harming emissions while it's producing energy is a bonus. Who in the world could object to that? But they can also help you save money month after month for decades and they do it with a clean footprint. So go green and start saving money today by visiting allenergysolar.com.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. I'm Gregory Rich, your host for another 15 minutes or so. I'm so glad that I had this opportunity to talk over the airwaves and interact with Brett and Eric, the repartee masters.
It's good to have you in here, too, because you have to scramble to another event coming up in just a few minutes, so you're squeezing us in.
I am. I am. American Society of Interior Design has their sponsorship thank you event. I'm going to head down to International Market Square, drink a few drinks, have a couple of appetizers, and then continue on my merry way.
See where the night goes.
Yeah, right. Hey, we've got some interesting caller discussions that we've had as I've rambled on. So let's take a couple of callers. Let's go to Steve in Minneapolis, who wants to talk about the farmers and the DFL.
Yeah, hi. All the Democrats have to do to connect with the farmers is look to Paul Wellstone, because I mean, he organized sit-ins at rural banks to keep farmers on their land.
Mm. Did he really? He was a little bit before my time. I moved here in the early 90s.
That was when he was college professor, but, you know, yeah, he did the work.
Taking an active interest.
I would like to try to one-up Gary on the joke.
Eric, is your finger on the drop button just in case?
Oh, I'm hovering.
Oh, no, this one is super clean. So a Higgs boson particle walks into a Catholic church.
Okay.
And the priest says, "We don't allow Higgs boson particles in here." And he says, "But without me, how can you have mass?"
Oh,
there we go.
Right now, there's a physicist who just dropped his drink or did a spit take. That's a good joke. That's an actual good joke. What's the mushroom guy walks? A mushroom walks into a bar, and the bartender looks up and says, "Hey, we don't serve your kind in here." The mushroom looks at him and says, "Why? I'm a fungi."
Oh, that's a Gary in Minneapolis joke right there, yeah.
I've enjoyed this one and only appearance on the Matt McNeil Show. No, that's great. And you're right, by the way. I just want to say what you're referring to is an individual who had an understanding of the problems and was willing to take action to try to address them on an individual level. Yeah, Wellstone, I was not a fan of Wellstone when I first came into town. I didn't get him. Mm-hmm. But I got to say, I've actually learned a bit more about him in not recent years, but, you know, in the years that followed his passing. And whether you agree with him or you don't agree with him, that was a man of integrity. That was a man who literally was trying to make things better as best he could, at least as I've read it.
And that's largely how he got reelected in 96 and probably would have in 2002. He was before my time as well, before I was politically aware. I was just a little punk kid back then, back when Paul Wellstone was serving. But I so often heard, looking back, is that people on the right would even say, "I disagree with Paul Wellstone on everything, but I know where he stands, and he's a man that has integrity," as you were saying. And that's a large reason why they continue to support him.
And the funniest thing is, I mean, it used to be the Republicans who always talked about integrity and character was what matters. And I guess, again, that comes down to the difference between lip service and reality.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take another caller. Let's go to Jeff in Minneapolis. How are you, Jeff?
Well, hello, this beautiful summer day here in the Twin Cities. I'll just start out with something. Never trust an atom, and you know why?
They make up everything.
Oh, gosh darn it, you guys. Hey, I hate being predictable. But two observations. What an insult to farmers. Mm-hmm. I worked a farm in my early years, and it was 18-hour days. And I always told my children when we had our dinner at the table to thank a farmer. And as a progressive, I think there's a lot that we can do to help farmers out in this difficult time. But my main question was, I'd like to get your thoughts on the fraud, Jason Lewis, the con man, throwing his hat back in the ring to take on Tina Smith.
I'll take this one, Jeff, because that's what we're going to talk about a lot during the 4 p.m. hour when it'll be just Eric and myself. But yeah, he's going all in for the Trumpster, which is really surprising that he thinks he can pull that off. To kind of give you a preview, is that he thinks everyone is misreading what's happening in the suburbs. He thinks Trump still has a lot of support in suburban areas, so he is going all in. In fact, Politico was going to put out a headline, well, they did put out a headline saying, Mini Trump is running for Minnesota Senate. And originally they thought, oh, there's no way the Jason Lewis campaign is going to want this headline to actually run. Turns out they loved it. They said, go ahead and run it. So he's going all in for number 45, which I don't think is going to be an effective strategy. I would be shocked if he doesn't lose by at least double digits.
What suburb, by the way, is he running in?
He's running for the entire Senate. He's
running for the Senate?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
I didn't realize that.
He was, he was the CD2 representative until 2018 when he was defeated by Angie Craig.
I remember that. Yes, indeed.
And
a happy day.
Yeah,
there was much rejoicing.
Yeah,
the
much
feast.
Rejoice,
the people did feast upon the lambs and the orangutans and the breakfast cereals.
So he got defeated, and then he decided he is going to run for the Senate seat against Tina Smith. The only person that would have made me happier to have seen run would be Mike Lindell, the MyPillow guy, because he is. Have you seen our life-size cardboard cutout of Mike Lindell?
No.
We have one here at the station.
Oh my God!
I
why
have told
do
you? Because.
We'll have to terrify you with it.
Now I regret telling you because Eric and I have done this. Hunter got in on this. We would hide this life-size cutout of Mike Lindell all around the office and basically scare each other because he looks very realistic.
Just peering through door cracks.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it is something
when
to
I
be scared
when I first saw
of.
Him, it was dark down here in a doorway. I thought it was Chad just standing in a dark doorway. I'm thinking, well, why is Chad just standing there? Turns out
where does car go?
It's Mike Lindell.
It's Mike Lindell, yeah.
What's the latest on that? Now, he was shutting down his factory, right? Because, the pillow scam apparently had run its course.
Mm-hmm.
But he's still out there. He's still around. He's still beloved by Fox News as an advertiser.
I think he's financing some Christian movie is the last I heard.
Really?
I know he had starred in one of them.
I don't know if I'd use the term starred, but.
He was in a Christian.
He was the hero of the movie.
What did he, like rush in with a pillow and like batter Satan?
I think he ran over some sort of demonic sculpture with a tractor.
Or maybe his pillows, gave Satan cancer or something like that from all the shredded throwaway fabric that he turned into a saleable product.
Definitely running some sort of tax scam still in every mall in Minnesota because he has so many storefronts. I'm like, what are you guys selling here?
Oh, it's absurd. It's a lot like another local businessman who I won't mention by name necessarily who had a particular fitness equipment company that very rarely – sold secondhand fitness equipment, but instead just sold discounted cheap Chinese stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a dishonest business model, trying to bring people in, and God knows how you're making ends meet other than
does this
cost
guy have
borrowing.
A very public face?
Oh, you've seen it.
Yeah.
Oh,
I know who you're talking
yep.
about.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
The only pitch man I trust is Fancy Ray.
Fancy Ray or back east Crazy Eddie. We had Crazy Eddie.
Oh, you had your own there, yeah.
Yes, but no, Fancy Ray was absolutely something. Well, this has been a fabulous hour. I hope that the listeners have enjoyed it. I've had a good time talking with both you guys.
Oh, this has been fun having you in, yeah.
Oh,
we got to do this again sometime when Matt is on vacation.
I mean, I'm no Matt McNeil. I can't fill his shoes. I have no depth of knowledge equivalent to what this guy has. He's a great host. But, if something should happen to him, like, a bolt of lightning or a piano falls on him or something, I'm here for you.
Excellent.
You're listening to the Matt McNeil Show. This has been Gregory Rich. Thanks for being with us.